Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you are here and joining me today on the program. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Jackie Mack Harris will be in shortly. Jill, how are you today?
Hello, Steve. I am good.
Very good.
I'm really good.
Glad you're good. And I'm good, so all's right with the world. If you want to join us in being good, you can call 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. I want to start by telling you that Westminster College in Utah is offering a class this fall where hardcore pornography is going to be viewed and discussed, and it's just another example of how pornography in all its forms has infiltrated our society and how some of the world's most outspoken women rights and folks fighting for women to be respected, how they do not stand against pornography, I don't understand. Obviously, there's some reason, because it is one of the most degrading
things. Seems very compartmentalized in their thinking, right?
Yeah, it does.
Because this is degrading. You're absolutely right, Steve.
So what is there as an alternative? Well, on Thursday night, April 28th, Promise Keepers is hosting a free online event called the Free Man Challenge. And this is where men gather around the nation for a powerful online event addressing lust, temptations, and raising kids in a sex-saturated culture, pornography, and more. And then there's a 30-day accountability program following that event. They've asked me to be the speaker, and I'm going to be there. You'll hear my talk. You'll hear my story. They partnered with several different organizations for this: Covenant Eyes, Pure Desire, Prodigals International, Messenger International, Axis, Be Broken Ministries, and more. And of all these, there is only one place that you can go and have the experience of Every Man's Battle Intensive, and that's here at New Life. And I don't know of anything out there. There are a lot of things that are easier. Like, people have put things together that you could do online by yourself. But you need people. You need connection. And you need a band of brothers around you. And that's what we do at Every Man's Battle. And you can find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. But I hope and pray that you would think about this Thursday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern, going to PromiseKeepers.org. And joining in on this wonderful, wonderful event. It's called the Free Man Challenge, and it's an integrity intensive on Thursday night. I think you're going to like it. Anyway, hope and pray that if you're stuck, struggling, you'll reach out. And reaching out means getting help. It's not just talking about the problem, but it's committing to doing something to help it. If you want to join me and Dr. Jill Hubbard here on New Life Live, you could call 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. When we come back, we're going to talk to Martha from Dallas, Texas. So, Martha, you hang on there. We'll also continue to talk about this matching gift. Over $700,000 has been given, and if you want to match it, you just text the word MATCH to 28950, or you can go to newlife.com and help us double the giving of all those faithful people that put together a $700,000 fund. We'll be back right after this, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Jackie Mack Harris has joined us. And Dr. Harris, welcome. Glad you're here.
Hi, Steve. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Always good to see your smiling face and your brilliant brain right here with us. And so let's go talk to somebody. Martha's called us from Dallas. Let's bring her on. And if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Hello, Martha. How are you today, and how could we help?
Oh, I'm not real good today. My emotions are a roller coaster. I'm a retired military, so it's like my anxiety and PTSD is getting worse. But anyway, to the point.
Yeah.
I have two very hard relationships. My son was in a relationship 7 years ago and had a child, and we were really close to that family for 3 years, and all of a sudden they cut off me, allowing me to see my grandson. So, and my son is extremely passive. He doesn't live with the lady anymore, the mother, and so I've written a letter to them, please let me see my grandson, and their answer is, COVID, we can't let you.
Martha,
and, the second one.
Martha, before you go into the second one, is there anything that you can point to that might be a reason that they would not want you to be around? Is there anything that came up, a conflict that's obvious, anything like that?
No.
And Martha, you mentioned COVID. Martha, you mentioned COVID. Do you guys have differing perspectives on how to manage COVID?
Well, I've gone by all the rules, the mask and all that, and I refuse to get vaccinated. So, yes, all their family is vaccinated, and they use that as an excuse. But this started 1 year before COVID even came out.
Okay, and so back to my question. Can you think of any reason that they wouldn't want you around in the way they used to have you around?
The only thing they have said to me that might be an indication is the mother said, when I asked if I could take Cal to grandparents' camp, she said, absolutely not. We don't allow him to be taken anywhere that they preach that one thing is the only way.
Okay. All right. And so,
which of course, at grandparents' camp, it's Jesus.
Yeah. And so they don't, well, she doesn't have your faith. Is your son a believer?
When he was 9 years old, he became a believer. But then when he went off to college, he turned his back on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and what's the other issue that you're troubled with, the other difficult relationship?
I've been in scouting for over 35 years, and in January and February of this year, I had my goal set on for my scouts to go to high adventure camp, and I did not clear it with the scout board of the district. And so they pulled me out of scouting and said, we're saying that you don't need to be involved for scouting for at least 2 months. And in May and June, we'll tell you whether or not you can come back.
Okay. So
and my
what's
scouts
the...
did get to go to that high adventure thing, but I was not allowed to go.
So what is the question for us that you'd like us to address?
I am a devout Christian, and it's going to sound like to you that I don't have any faith because I'm having a hard time giving both of these to the Lord. I repeat scriptures constantly. I read the Bible constantly. I carry scriptures in my pocket and all that. And I was wondering if you thought hypnosis or your freedom, emotional freedom workshop would help.
Yeah. Well, I think two things. One, emotional freedom would help a lot, give you some insight. Secondly, on May 7th, I think it is, we're doing
the grief
Transforming Grief workshop, brand new. And I think that would help you because there's quite a bit that you have to grieve. It's the loss of relationship, the loss of your grandchild, and really just kind of your loss in believing that God could, and knowing God could change this, but God remaining silent. Jill, Jackie, what are you thinking here? How could we help Martha in the best way possible?
Yeah, I think you're onto something with the grief, Steve. And it's so hard when we are involved and we really invest in people and organizations. And, at first I hear this theme of people pushing away maybe your differing views. Mm. And so how do we handle people who think differently than us? And sometimes that's not tolerated, and that's very, very painful. And so then and this was even before COVID, I think that was part of the theme. We know as Christians, we will face rejection. People will push away Jesus in us. And so we have to expect that. But when it comes to our closest and most personal relationships, and again, where you've given your heart and soul, it's so, so painful. And relationships do shift at different times in life. Mm-hmm. Things don't ever quite stay the same. And, I was visiting my son this weekend, and I realize he's starting to grow up. And it was a good thing, but it was so bittersweet. And it's like, oh, I need to step back. Mm-hmm. I need to take that step backwards. And I felt grief over that because it's a loss of how things used to be. And so for you, though, to be completely cut off is another thing. It's another level of loss. Yeah. And so, but in that, I think God can use that if we sit in our pain and we feel it and we allow the Lord to minister to us and we find safe people, we can move through it with greater ability and insight and strength to move on.
And I think, Martha, it would definitely be okay for you to do this work. The question before you began your question, you said you guys are going to probably think I don't have much faith. I think that's what I heard you say, and that's just not the case. This isn't about you not having enough faith. These are hard things, and you mentioned in the beginning of the conversation that you were prior military and had some PTSD, and so that depression, that anxiety, maybe the way that you react to people or things or situations is sometimes more than others know what to do with, and that might impact your relationship and the way people view you. And so that request for a little distance, a little space that the scouts put out there, hopefully that your response to that was favorable and that changes something. And then in May or June, when they come back and you have another conversation, hopefully they are able to reinstate you or let you come back in and work with the scouts again. But I like what Steve said, pay attention to what's going on with you that is impacting the relationships, because that's the only thing you have power to do anything about. And so if you're willing to take a look at you and how your struggles might be hard for other people to manage because they're not in those struggles with you, they're just seeing that pain, and however that pain is being displayed might be scary for them. It might feel unsafe for them. It might feel like something that's just too much for them to be a part of. That's not on you. That's their stuff. But they also get to choose to set a boundary and stay away from it. You're doing work. You're calling in. You're wanting to get help. You're doing all the faith things, right? Carrying scripture, memorizing scripture, praying. I'm sure you're a part of a study. I'm curious, have you ever seen a therapist? Did you see a therapist when you got out of the military? Have you dealt with that PTSD?
Well, it hasn't surfaced really until the scout thing came. I've had so much stress trying to get my scouts on this high adventure thing. Mm-hmm. I was like a bull in a china closet, just straight ahead.
You know, sometimes so we are not aware.
Maybe all that was Yeah, some, maybe it was lying low, and then this just fueled it. But
well,
I've been retired since 17, and I've never had this.
So sometimes, being in the military, I'm prior military, my husband's prior military, my son-in-law's prior military, my other son-in-law is active duty. So we are a military family. And sometimes we don't see it ourselves because it's just normal to think this way, to behave this way, to move in the world this way. But people who were not in the military do not get it. And so where you might have thought that the PTSD wasn't showing or you weren't having an awareness of it because you're tough, you know how to suck things up, you know how to get things done, other people might have been feeling it. And now this big thing has happened, and now you can even see it. And so the Emotional Freedom Workshop, the grief, the Transforming Grief Workshop in May, those seem like excellent ideas. And also find a good Christian therapist in your area so that you can start to do some work.
Right.
We'll help her find that person.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, too, when you meet with the scouts again, I mean, you know they told you that it's because you didn't run it by them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's an easy fix.
Right. You own that?
Yeah.
You've owned it. You've taken the consequences for it. What do they need from you?
Yeah.
In order for you to be reinstated? What do they need?
Humility, mm-hmm. I think, and asking them.
Yep. How can I repair this?
Yeah. Is there anything else?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And I wrote a letter of apology.
Okay.
And we had we have a meeting every Monday night.
Okay.
So it's been since the end of February already.
How are those meetings
March
going?
In April. Well, they don't even speak to me. Mm. Even the parents don't even speak to me.
Well, there has to be.
I was too hard on their 16-year-old sons to stretch them and get them to learn things about the reef etiquette and all this thing because they were going to a high adventure water thing for a week.
All right, so
you made our scouts do too many things to try to get ready for this.
Okay, so why don't we go with that rather than say they're wrong? Why don't you start looking at adjusting maybe the tone or the pressure level of the message you're trying to get across. And I think a counselor could really help you with that. I would also contact my son, and I would say, I'm starting to realize that I've been a bit overbearing with some things that maybe have caused you or these things they've caused your wife to not necessarily be comfortable with, and I'm working on that. And I hope that you'll believe me and be patient with me because I want to be part of my grandchild's life. I want to be part of your life.
And maybe
I'm working
on it. Ask your son what was it like to have you as a mother? And be open to what he says. I have a Marine husband, and I was in the Air Force. And so our kids, they got a different childhood than a lot of their friends had. And as adults, they get to have conversations with us, and they share what parts of that was really hard for them and the parts that they're in therapy for now, right? So I think you could maybe learn something from the people around you. Hear what they're saying. That was hard for those kids. They're not Marines. They're not in the Army. They are telling you, you were pushing more than they wanted or needed to be pushed. And you'll have to accept that and revamp your process.
And nothing personal here. I've been saying this for years, that there are some people that don't like you, and maybe you don't like, that have information that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, even though we don't like them, we need to consider it. And all that comes from my experience of a woman who was able to be my assistant for 4 hours before she resigned. This was years ago. And she wrote a letter, and every year on the anniversary of her leaving, I would pull that letter out because there were some things in there that were true. And then years later, I met her at a Women of Faith conference, and it was one of the greatest reunions ever. And, of course, she was delighted to know that that letter had become a big part of my own recovery. People They're not as stupid as we think they are. Mm-hmm. They yeah. have some observation skills that we need. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. I'm going to scholarship this woman into emotional freedom and hope that she'll then come to the grief workshop. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and very, very glad you're with us. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. That is the phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Jackie, emotional freedom, well, it's coming right up this weekend, and I hope and pray. On Saturday, some of you who've been struggling with guilt, shame, fear, anger, all of these kinds of things, that you would come and join me, and Chris Williams is going to be there. We love doing this, mm-hmm. and we've seen people make some big movement in one day, haven't we, Jackie?
Absolutely, absolutely. It is a great... It's a great day. It's a great opportunity to be with other people who are having similar challenges. And I think that there's healing in numbers and, you know, just having yeah. that be normalized and seeing, wow, I'm not alone. And there's just so much valuable information that we all share.
Yeah, really making sense of your pain, right?
Yes.
That helps so
yes.
much.
Making sense of it. And then you can start to move through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're not just talking. We've got Christian counselors that are going to work with you on your specific issue in a group, and I don't think you'll regret it. You call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's this Saturday. Right now, I want to go to Mary from Alexandria, Virginia, WAVA. That is the wonderful, fabulous station. And hi, how are you today?
Pretty well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. My primary question is, what would you suggest that I do for, or what I might be able to do for a family member, a young adult, but of less than 20, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. that only wants to die.
Oh, wow.
No interest in anything, is very hurt by people, has grown up in a very turbulent environment, and just doesn't want to be alive.
Okay. So many times when people are at this place, there has been a very specific trauma that's occurred. Any idea if that is true here and what that might have been?
Well, he has had social anxiety for a very long time. He's very intelligent, but around the age of 8, I guess, started having more difficulties interacting with people, and then, like I say, the environment that he grew up in, his role models were pretty much non-existent, or at
okay.
least the father figure. He was very
but of
involved
course,
with.
There are many. He was involved with what? What was he involved with?
Well, he was very involved with his mother, mm-hmm. and but then. The father is not, what can I say? The father was not supportive in the marriage, even though it was supposed to be a Christian environment.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. There are a lot of people that don't have fathers, a lot of people that have unhealthy fathers, different kind of fathers, but mm-hmm. they don't want to die. And so I'm just wondering, what is it here that is so severe that makes him want to die? Jill,
right. Well,
what do you think?
I'm wondering what changed when he was 8 years old. So that always leads me to wonder, okay, was there some kind of abuse that was going on? But there's also the idea of the repetitive, cumulative trauma that happens for people when they grow up in chaos and over again that creates a pattern for them. And you said he has social anxiety, but he's highly intelligent. The intelligence can be almost a curse because of the ruminating, the thinking that goes on, along with the fear. And he may be so trapped in his head, it's hard for him to push through it. So the one thing, when people want to die, it's an option. It's a way out of pain because nothing they know to do where they're at gives them any hope. So we have to remember that gives them hope that they can have some relief. Mm-hmm. So part of it is helping them to see, okay, that's one option, but maybe let's try some things that you haven't thought of yet. And so I'm wondering if he has had any treatment of any kind.
He did when he was younger and it got to a point where he was on medication. I think he was originally diagnosed with like ADHD, and then his actions and interaction was more like an Asperger's type individual, and so then his final diagnosis was PDD, pervasive developmental, with the side of depression and, you know, ODD.
We're going to take this break. You can hear the music. When we come back, we'll try to give you some help that would lead to this young man having a new hope for his life. 1-800-229-3000.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. All right, so very, very sad young man wanting to die. Jill, Jackie, what do you think here?
Well, Mary, this is very sad, and I can tell that your heart is breaking for this young man. He's part of your family, and you guys love him, right? And within the family, you can appreciate his uniqueness and what he contributes to all of your lives. So at 8 years old, you know, kids can be cruel. Kids, though, are honest in when they see something that's different, they point it out or they move away from it, right? And so with the Asperger's and all the issues you described, that might be something that was so different that the kids were pushing away, which then reinforces that social anxiety, right? Because you're not getting the positive feedback to move forward into relationship. I'm also wondering, with all the diagnoses and things he has going on, if in his internal world, I mean, he sounds like someone that may feel tormented in his internal world, and we're wondering if he hears voices. because early onset, unfortunately, of schizophrenia is right around now in his growth.
Any knowledge of that, voices at all?
No, when he was very young, I understand that there was almost like dreams, you know, where he expressed that. But as he got older and into the teenage years, which is, I mean, really like 12, 13, 14 is when like a lot of the anger and, you know, started coming out and him kind of planning and scheming, just kind of realizing, you know, how intelligent he was and, you know, he might be able to use that, and he aligned with his father,
okay.
who, like I
all
said,
right.
is not real
okay.
scrupulous.
So, all right, so Jackie Mack, what do you think would be helpful here?
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of different things going on for him psychologically mm-hmm. and emotionally, and it makes him different. And so he maybe doesn't have a lot of friends, and even some family members maybe are standoffish with him or don't understand him. And so
he's very isolated.
He mm-hmm. feels very alone and very isolated. And so sometimes people just want to die because they don't see any other option. Yeah. And he's super intelligent, and so as he's thought through all of the options, that seems like the best. And I think there might be some options that he's not considered because at his young age, he doesn't have the life experience to know all the options that are out there. Is he in treatment? Right. Is he seeing a therapist?
No, and he does not want to. I mean, that's
okay.
what I mean.
So that's the thing. You can't
do anything.
You can't force him to do anything other than what he's doing. And so for your part, this is really hard because you're watching him suffer and not want any help. Like you said, all he really wants to do is die. So he's just living his life to die. If he doesn't want to be in treatment, there isn't anything you can do, and there isn't anything
you can invite him, and I would or whoever is closest to him, research some. There are groups for kids with social anxiety. Mm-hmm. There are groups for kids on the spectrum where they interact with people who have similar issues as they do. Mm-hmm. And they fill in some of those voids. Because no matter how intelligent you are, when you have issues like this, there's still obviously social voids,
right?
And so to help them fill in the gaps, and then you offer that to him as an alternative. Yeah, sure, you could die, or you could try this and see.
And yeah. and then the family accepting him, right? Accepting that this is who he is. He's a little quirky. He has, you know, he might even be a little odd. But if he has people around him who love him and accept him and support him for who he is, that can go a long way towards easing some of the pain and isolation.
Yeah. One of the sad things when I hear about things like this is that we don't hear anything about involvement in church. And many times that's where kids still can be cruel, but a youth worker comes along and says, I'm going to put into this child's life, and they develop a spiritual insight and strength that comes from no other place, especially in the absence of dad. Mm-hmm. And so it's tragic that that's not part of this picture. I'm going to send you How We Love and How We Love Our Kids, both. I think it'll provide some good insight here, and I'm glad that you called, Mary. Mm-hmm. And rhyming with Mary is the word Larry. And Larry's in the studio. Larry, how are you?
Doing good, Steve. Thanks.
And I think you've got something really important to talk about.
Well, I do.
Because it's the future of our ministry and people supporting that future.
Yes. I'm believing that not everybody who listened to yesterday's program is listening again today, so there's some new folks listening. And yesterday we announced that we have a matching gift. We have a group of donors that get together each year, and they pull their funds and say, go put it out as a match. And you know, have you ever asked God for something and you got more than you asked for? It's kind of like, look out for what you pray for. We got $706,420. And we're putting that out there as a match. And to be matched by May 31st, which is, if I didn't believe in God and believe in the generosity of the folks who support New Life, I'd probably be wobbling my knees and a little scary. But I know what God can do and what he has done. And I'm just so grateful that people are going to step up. And the way it works, folks, I just want to make sure you all know, this money is put into an account by itself. And when you make a gift, then we get to use that money. So $700,000 is sitting there, but we can't touch it until you make a gift. So if you make a gift of $20, we'll take 20 from that fund, we'll realize 40. You give 100, we'll get 200. 1,000, we'll get 2,000. So we're just praying for your generosity to help us use those funds up as quickly as we can. It'll make a difference.
Essentially, what the people that gave it did is they said, here's this gift. Now get to work and make it double. And so that's what we're doing. We're asking you to help us here. They want the most to come from their gift. And when we're happy to do everything we can, but you're going to have to join us, and we need your help. And we're grateful for their help and even them giving us the task of doubling that gift in the match fund.
Steve, this, I just want folks to know, this started by a donor 5 or 6 years ago, called ahead of our meeting and said, hey, I want to give $25,000, and I want you to announce it at our meeting, but let it be anonymous, and ask everybody to give what they can, and let's pool this money. And we came up with like $175,000 at that.
Wow.
And that has grown each year. It's gotten bigger. And one quick, it's not a testimony, but I sent out a thank you to folks who gave to this. And this lady writes, I'm absolutely praising God for New Life's givers and the extraordinary amount pledged for the upcoming matching funds. Wow. Reminds me of who God is, how he does math. May the givers be in an overabundance. Mm. So, folks, thank you. God bless everyone who has given, who will give, and it's all going to be for a lot of good things that we're doing here at New Life.
It sure is. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and if you want to see how God does math, give. It doesn't mean that you get more money back, because a lot of people on television say, you know, send me $1,000 and God will double that back to you or something like that. Well, that isn't true. Vegas, that might happen, but you also might lose it. But in the, as far as the blessings come, God says, try me, test me. You give and just see if it doesn't come back to you in the form of many, many blessings. Not financial, but in many other ways. Sometimes it is financial. But I know this, our donors, our givers are some of the most blessed people ever.
Amen.
Larry, you have a big old book in front of you there. Do you have something else you want to share?
Well, the theme for this campaign for us has been Ephesians 3:20. I just wanted to read that to folks and why we're excited and confident in God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is, you know, folks. To God be the glory. Everything we do, these workshops, these counselors that help, the books that everybody writes and we put out, it's to give God the glory for what happens when people follow through and do what is instructed or learned.
Yeah. Well, we're thank you for that, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, end of May, we have to find this $700,000. Be sure and tell people you want to be part of that match.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Let's go to Tina. Tina's calling us from Anchorage, Alaska. Tina, you are on with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on?
So I have a adult son who's 25 years old who called me a few days ago and just kind of threw up on me with, like, everything bad that I did to him when he was a child and adolescent. And I thought we had had reconciliation and healing and forgiveness because we voiced it. I've worked on myself for 12 years after the divorce from his father. And I felt like we came to a place, in different phases of his life for forgiveness. I'm sorry. Yes, I shouldn't have done that. Very humble and, sorry, crying on my knees.
Yeah.
And he just called me the other day. None of that history of reconciliation and healing happened. And he just let me have it. It was like a sucker punch. And I was like, wow, I thought we got through this. And I'm sorry. And I'm still sorry. But, how can I help us move past these sucker punches that come every 5 years?
Let me tell you something.
I'm very sorry.
I have to wonder what it was that happened in his life that caused him to want to go back and blame Mom for all of the misery. Do you know of something that came up that was very painful for him?
I think it's the fact that he doesn't have the unit of the mother and father anymore from his biological father and biological mother. And I'm sorry, and I even apologize for that. I know that God hates divorce and the enemy is
Tina.
You know,
Tina, is he saying that that's what he's upset about?
No, he's not. He can't even tell me. I'm like, what happened? Why are you, why is this happening right now? What happened? I'm just sick of it. It's just glossing over. There's no deep thought.
So,
and I want to get to it. Yeah.
Well, he's not ready to get to it yet. And I have adult children and I am a therapist and they have psychology minds. And so every once in a while they will share with me and we go over the same things over and over again. I'm an emotional avoider. And so they had an emotionally unavailable mother and a father who was deployed half of their childhood, and there was a lot of pain, and that comes up. I hold it, but there are some times, though, where I'll set a boundary, and I've been sitting with clients all day, and I can't contain it today, and so we will set up a time, but I've given them permission to come every time they get triggered, every time they need to come and process it, every time they need to come and talk about it, because that's how I can parent them now as adults. I can't go back and undo what happened in their childhood. I regret that we weren't, my husband and I sat one night talking, and we lament that we didn't know what we know now, and so our children didn't have the best parents. We thought we did an amazing job. We loved parenting them, and we worked through our really hard stuff, but they were on that ride with us, and we weren't focused on how the bumps and bruises were going to impact them. We were really working on surviving ourselves, and so we're better. We're much better at 33, almost 34 years, but it left some imprints on our children. And so we use a book called How We Love, and we've gone through it as a family. Both of our children are in adult relationships, and so I've encouraged them to go through the book, and we process their childhood. And, the forgiving 7 times 70, what I think of that as every time you're triggered, you're going to have to go back through that forgiveness process again. It might be for the exact same thing, right? The person doesn't have to still be hurting you. But when it comes back up, your nervous system doesn't know the difference between it happening right now and it happening 20 years ago. And so he's triggered even though you guys have talked about it, but that's because something's going on with him. And that we can't undo that.
Go ahead, Jill.
And learning, Tina, is not linear. Right? It's not a linear climb, and we already visited that, so we're done with it. Yeah. It's like a circular spiral, right? Where you kind of come around a rung, and you deal with as much as you can at that point, and then you get triggered again, and you got to go around you know, you've got to go around through it again, and you keep doing that. But you're not, I don't want you to lose heart. He's not at square one. He's still in process, and he's moving into adulthood. So he's learning new things, and so a new, you know, pain trigger comes up, and he goes back to that old well of, well, this is why.
And sometimes I've sat with clients who, as they realize how much their childhood is impacting their present, they're angry with their parents. It feels very unfair that they're having to deal with depression and anxiety for something their parents did.
So, Tina, if you give energy to this every time he calls you, then it's kind of reinforcing that things are not settled and resolved. But if he runs this by you again, and you were able to not get emotional and say, I hear you, that must be so painful to continue to feel these things, I don't think, you know, he's going to be coming back to you at the same intensity if he's not able to get the reaction, the deep reaction. Because if there's a really fabulous saying, I don't think it's trite at all, misery loves company. And so if he can hurt you, if he can get you in despair, it's not because he wants to be cruel. He just doesn't want to be alone in his despair.
Well, and he's also dumping his pain. Right. So if he can trigger the emotion, he's discharging it into you, and then he doesn't have to own it. Sorry,
it
Steve.
It doesn't help for you to go into your own pain again. Mm-hmm. It actually encourages him to stay in his. He needs to see, yes, you felt horrible about it. You confessed that. You dealt with that. But now you are not in that place anymore, and he doesn't have to be either. Mm-hmm. But what we heard from you here on the phone was a tremendous amount of pain that's still there.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you to do the work that you need to do so that you're not ashamed of the way you parented. There are many, many worse parents. And here's a really crummy way to parent, and that is to let a man abuse you, abandon you, be unfaithful to you, and you just sit there and do nothing about that. That's a whole other form that you didn't take, but there are a lot of people complaining about, or they're impacted negatively in that way. So I just want to encourage you. In fact, emotional freedom this weekend would help you get free so that he feels like there's hope for him also.
So, Tina, no more groveling, okay? Yeah.
Right.
But take what Steve has said and let him know. You already know that I'm so sorry. So how can I be a part of your healing? What do you still need from me in this?
Now, if that's just, you're just not able to do that, that's where you reach out, you get some help, and somebody can lead you through whatever it is you're going through that separated you from God. Emotional freedom, it's this Saturday. Transforming grief, that workshop. Christian therapist there to help you. That's May the 7th. Every man's battle, May the 13th. See, I mean, you could have three different problems and walk out of May totally free. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.